Alrighty. If you want to be locating your Bible, we'll still be using the Bible, even though we're a big church now. This morning's message is entitled, Just Give Me the Band-Aid.
Give me the chapter.
Just give me the Band-Aid. What?
Can you tell me your Latin?
Oh, I didn't tell you yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's a surprise. It's coming up real soon.
I apologize.
That's a teaser.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So, just give me the Band-Aid. You know, when our kids come up to us and they have a little scratch or an owie or a little blood coming out of their arm, you know, they scrape their knee, and they come in and they want the Band-Aid, right? And of course, we adults say, no, we got to wash it first. We got to put a little rubbing alcohol or something on it first.
Oh,
that stinks. I don't want that. Just give me the Band-Aid. Just put the Band-Aid on and it'll be good. And it occurs to me that we're a lot like that. You know, maybe we don't outgrow that. As we get older and we start to have things that we deal with in life, troubles, tribulations, things that we have to deal with internally, and we often are just like the kids. Just give me the Band-Aid. Give me the Band-Aid, put it on, and it'll go away. And we kind of do that, but we need to have that wound, that cut, cleaned out. We come to Christ, and so often, we just want the benefits. We just want to be able to rest easy, but we don't realize that, you know, that wound, our old man, it has to be cleaned out. It has to be rooted out. Things have to change. We were singing that song today, I've been changed. And all of us have. We've come to Christ. We are not the same person. And yet, we tend to carry some of those things with us, but they need to be rooted out. In fact, I think all of us could admit there's times when we just kind of want to hide our sin. So that Band-Aid that we're thinking about is, we think is just hiding our sin from God. He won't see it if we have that Band-Aid on. And one wonders if God, even in His great mercy, will heal what we try to conceal. Will God, who's gracious and loving and merciful, if we're hiding our sin, if we're hiding the things that need to be healed, will He heal it? Okay, so now we can turn to 1 John. Wanted to make sure everybody was listening instead of turning pages. 1 John 1. John 1, we'll be starting at verse 8. So the question that we're wrestling with here is, how can God heal what we deny? You know, one of those Band-Aids is denial. We don't want to admit. We don't want to agree with God what our sin is. That's what confession's all about. It's not to blab it around. It's to agree with God what's right and wrong. And how can God heal what we cover up? Are you there? 1 John?
Amen.
Yes.
Beginning with verse 8. No, did I say 8?
Yes.
I did, didn't I? That's where we want to start. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Ouch. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's that Bactine, that's that iodine, that rubbing alcohol. 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's when we put that band-aid over and we're concealing, we think we're concealing our sin from God. Verse 1, chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Everybody say propitiation. See, that's what the big churches do. You know, they have everybody repeat the word.
Mine says expiation.
The propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Amen. So, do you want a healthy life? You know, Jesus often, when he would encounter people that wanted healing, he would say, what do you want me to do for you? So we too. I mean, Jesus is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? We want a healthy life, Jesus.
Didn't he also usually forgive their sins first?
That he did.
Usually he would say, forgive your sins, and by the way, here's some healing.
Amen. And what that points out is so much of our outward behavior is a function of our inward beliefs. So our wrong inward beliefs are the roots of dysfunctional behavior.
I'm glad that you repeated that.
That was an amen? Like,
yeah.
We have a hurt, and what do? Our first reaction, I think, is to reach for that band-aid. And that band-aid can be a lot of different things. We'll talk about some of those in a moment. But we want to just do anything we can so that we can be relieved of the pain and the symptoms, but we don't want to address the cure, the actual problem. And that's what I want to do today. I want to put iodine and Bactine on everybody, and it's going to hurt. Yeah,
just blow and it'll be better.
So, if you look up here, and I'm going to go through the list, I want to just lay out what I would say are some of the hurts that we have, some of the types of pain we have, and these are those wrong inward beliefs. As we go through them and you think about them, this is not what God thinks about us. This is what we're wrongly thinking about ourselves. One of them is shame. Another one is guilt. Another one is self-pity. Another one, feeling unloved. Feeling unfulfilled, not having your needs met. Having insecurity. Feeling like you have a lack of needs, a lack of abundance, a lack. Just, you know, I'm poor, I don't have what I need. Here's one, insignificance. I think a lot of people don't recognize this. We have this God-driven desire to be significant. And that's okay, as long as it's done with the right heart, the right motives, and in the right way. But if you feel insignificant, you're feeling like pushed out into the corner, maybe even pushed outside into the parking lot, you know, insignificant, like your life doesn't matter to anyone. Boredom, Now here's a troubling one, boredom. And we all know what the Bible doesn't say this per se, but boredom and idleness is the devil's playground, right? I know for me, when I was younger and I have so much energy, if I was bored, look out, there was coming trouble. I went, to go find trouble. Loneliness. This is not what God wants for you. Many people, they're an introvert. They like to be by themselves a lot, and that's not really loneliness. But loneliness, wouldn't you say, is when you feel like nobody really cares about you, nobody loves you, or you don't want to be around them, and yet you wish they were there, so you're kind of lonely. Victimhood. Our society is overblown. Social media is overblown with victimhood. Just a serious problem. And yet, we forget who we are. Who are we? We are children of the Most High God.
Huh?
So, we're not victims. What does the Bible say? We are more than
conquerors.
Yeah, somebody's read the Bible. Depression. Depression. Our society is rampant with depression. And I'm not denying that it's a real issue. And in fact, when Adrian and I had our first, I think it was our second child, Daniel, wherever that little rascal is.
Right here.
Okay. We were in the hospital. He was in the NICU. He was in a little container thing. And all we could do to touch him was to reach in there and touch him. And we got a couple calls to hurry on down there because he was going to die. And I felt depression. I felt what it was like. And for about 3 days, I just could not move or think or do anything. So depression is real. And I think everyone may have a story of the time they've been in depression. Maybe you're suffering with it now. But that's not what God wants for you. That's not what God has for you. He has more for you. You do not have to be identified by depression. You do not have to stay in it. There is hope. And then the last one, which is really probably the worst one, is unbelief. Unbelief. You know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is you can't be forgiven of the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's basically saying you don't believe that he's God. You can't be forgiven if you don't get saved. So we can see that this whole list of hurts are really focused inward. They're not outward where you got blood coming out. It's an inward problem. It's an inward belief. It's what we're believing about ourselves, which is a lie, which is not God. It's from the enemy. So what are some of the typical band-aids that we often try to cover over these hurts that we just went through that list? What are some of the typical band-aids?
Work.
Could be. Workaholics.
Yeah,
self-medication is probably the one that everybody, would agree on, I guess. I won't get any fight back on that one. Self-medication. Because we're trying to just cover over a hurt or a feeling of lack, that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of not being loved. All of those things on that list, we think alcohol or drugs will fix it, but it doesn't. We learn that. It's just a question of how fast we learn it.
Destructive behaviors.
Destructive behaviors, yes.
More than just drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Most of the things on that list can be mitigated pretty easily by helping others, focusing on others instead of turning inward and hiding. There was an article in my news feed that I thought was interesting about people like us more than we think they do. And we go out to meet new people and we're scared because we think they're not going to like us. And if we can just approach it with the knowledge that people actually do like us, but we don't give them a chance. We kind of stick our toe in the water, and then we run. Yeah. And there is so much loneliness that does not have to occur because
Amen.
I agree exactly. Like, it just really touches me. This last year, I was telling a new coworker, like, I said, if you told me that I was going to be this unbelievably happy a year ago now, I would say, yeah, you're crazy. Because I had so much loneliness, and I, because of the dysfunction in my marriage and my life, I didn't think anybody loved me. Like, why would you? Why would you want this guy to be crazy around? And so I would escape it all, like, through yard. I would do yard landscape and do yard work and, like, hard work, like, until I would drop down and go to sleep at night. And to the point where I didn't want to, like, really do for my family. Like, I was doing, but not doing, like, what's for dinner? Pasta and sauce. There you go. And then, you know, we didn't eat together. Those are the things that I love the most. But I see that, like, how I didn't hear God, and I didn't want to let him in because I had so much hurt festering underneath. And, like, I see how God heals that, like, where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's just overwhelming. Like, I just feel this unbelievable sense of love. And, like, God, well, how stupid am I? I was paying attention all along, you know? But it is.
And like in AA, the only way to keep God is to give him breath.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. One of the biggest band-aids in our society is denial.
Yep, absolutely. Denial, absolutely. Denial, that's on my list here, is a sin of, it's a sin root, really. And when we're in denial, we're usually out there evangelizing, trying to get other people to agree with this, and we form this group of deniers and God rejectors. Absolutely. Prideful and arrogant behavior. That's one of those band-aids. We, instead of living and becoming more like Christ, we become prideful and arrogant, and we cause a lot of damage, but we think, oh, that felt good because, you know, it worked for me. Immoral behavior. That's another one that we use to cover up what the emptiness that's inside that only Jesus can fill. How about, well, we already mentioned isolation, loneliness, withdrawing from society. Aspen Springs has been a place where people come out to get away, to hide out. I got my acre of land, and I can hide out in my camper behind the trees and put up a fence with a picture of a shotgun if you come to knock on the door. I can isolate. I can hide out. And you know, we're here to reach out to those people. I mean, everybody wants to be loved. Some will not admit it, but everybody truly wants to be loved. They want to feel, that makes them feel significant, that they're important to somebody else.
So, self-centered, egotistic, it's all about me, I think, is another one in society right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
narcissism.
Well, yeah, every media out there is focused on what you deserve.
Right.
So we can so easily render significance to another person by paying attention, because attention, I always heard when I was a kid, oh, you just want attention. That was a terrible thing. We have a need for to be attended to.
Recognized.
For sure. So you might say, I'm suffering, and you might ask, rightly, what can I do about this? What can I do to fix this? And what we're trying to do today is to give everyone some ideas and answers besides the band-aid, besides hiding out, besides, you know, God can't see me now. So, if you're ashamed or you have guilt, Bible says, and we read it, confess our sins believe he will follow through and forgive us. And here's the part a lot of people forget. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his forgiveness. We don't forgive ourselves. God forgives us. All of our sin, at the end of the day, is against God. It might be channeled against somebody else, but it's against God, because God doesn't want us sinning against another person. But we have to receive the forgiveness. And that's just by saying, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm forgiven. And believe it. Leave it at the foot of the cross. You're done with it. Just as that lady that got dragged in front of Jesus by the men, where are your accusers? And he just said, go and sin no more. I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Maybe you have shame or guilt over something that you've been taught falsely. A lot of times, guilt is put on us and we'll receive it, but it's not proper. It's not a proper thing to be. It's wrong teaching. It's wrong statement. So don't let it soak into you and fester and grow.
Yeah.
Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right?
Amen.
So don't be shamed or guilt over false condemnation. Picking up where Kobe mentioned is, if you feel unloved, and a lot of people do, they feel unloved, the cure for that is to go and love someone else. It's guaranteed to work. Test me on it. Try it.
I tell people sometimes when they come and they're all like inside themselves and depressed and feeling bad, I tell them, if you can't think of any other way to help people, go to the grocery store. And if somebody has on a striking blouse, say, wow, that is a great shirt. Well, you have beautiful eyes. That lifts them. You have no idea what that does for a person. They might remember it when they're 80.
Amen.
And just that act of noticing other people instead of noticing me, noticing what's striking and beautiful about them, does an amazing thing for your soul.
Amen. Well, you know, in the dark world of Walmart, we have a ray of light.
You know, you know what he was talking about, I just said, in a dark world, we have a ray of light, Alicia.
Oh, we do.
Oh, this lady is just so affectionate and so loving. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
awesome. And she's always telling me, I love you, Donnie. Hi, Donnie. Every day.
Yeah. So perfect example.
She works for GOP, taking the food out to the cars and all that. So
if you're feeling insecure, you know, you're a little nervous, you're a little anxious, you just don't feel secure in yourself. There's only one place that security is found, and that's in Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, turn that feeling over. Make it captive to Christ. Let him deal with it and get that feeling of security. And you just got to keep, when that feelings of insecurity come in, you just got to keep thinking towards Jesus until it becomes something that's rooted out of your life. If you have a perceived lack, like you feel you don't have all the things you need and you feel you're poor, you know, maybe your car dies on you and you no longer have a car. Things happen. But the solution to it is learn to be happy with what you have. Bible says be content with such things that you have. If we have shelter and food, we should be happy. Paul said, you know, I've had all of these troubles and problems and I've been wealthy and happy. I was okay with that, and I've been poor and beaten and stoned nearly to death, and I've learned to be happy with that. So we can learn to be content with what we have. The problem is when we feel this perceived lack, we go do dysfunctional things. We go sin. We maybe steal. We maybe cheat. We maybe cut corners. Not what God wants.
The challenge with that is the world basically tells us to be discontent. every social media, every media out there, every commercial, every person out there tells us, you should not be content. There's always, you deserve this, you deserve that, you should have this, you should have that. How dare somebody say this? How dare somebody say that? I think it's even more so than, you know, when I was a teenager, even though that was still there, I think it's gotten bigger, maybe because there's more media all the time, but I just feel like you have to fight that worldly vision that you can never be content. Because yeah. The Bible tells us that Jesus is enough, that His mercy, that His grace, His love is enough for us to be content. And I think it's a constant spiritual battle that we fight in this world that tells us that contentment is unachievable.
Even on simple things. I mean, there's always a better laundry detergent.
Right, right. There's always a better something out there that you need to be seeking. And I think we have to...
And then you get insecure.
Fight that spirit.
So what about, do you feel victimized? I mean, I hear all the time from people, I just can never get ahead, or there's always this problem or that problem, and it's just such a negative outlook on life. And the mentality is that, you know, people are out to get me.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. So, you know, the answer is you might be that victim. You might be the target. But just let it roll off. The way we get revenge is by finding ways to bless them or bless other people. So if you're feeling victimized, focus on going out and loving others, blessing others. Kobe's idea of going to the grocery store, food pantry, wherever, and you can find a way to bless other people. I'll bet you if you, starting today after church, when you're driving around or you're looking at people, you can think of ways to bless other people. So, you know, it's a truth that I think we all know is when we're feeling bad and down about ourselves, if we go help someone, so like, you know, Thanksgiving days, you know, where everybody wants to go volunteer, serve meals for people and Christmas, because it makes you feel better.
God will find those people in our lives that we can help, and the Holy Spirit will guide us as to what to say and do. We don't have to work too hard. We just have to have a mindset of doing it.
Yeah, just get out and about, and you may go out with no aim or plan. But once you get there, things happen if you're open.
Yeah. I'd like to say, you know, to myself, and I say it to other people too, I mean, what's the worst that could happen if you go to this guy and say something? He could say no. He could say go away, you know? He's not going to kill you. He's not going
to... Unless you're in a dark alley and he has a knife.
The other thing we saw victimhood is to count blessings, to be grateful.
Yeah.
Is to just start, you know, looking, instead of looking at what you don't have or...
And write it
down. The people
down.
Who have been hurtful in your life, you just be thankful and praise God for... I mean, we have the ultimate gift, which is immortality in heaven.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, what else is there to be grateful for is to count those blessings and to pray, even if you're maybe an introvert and like walking up to somebody is challenging, but as you walk by people, you can just pray for them. Or instead of, you know, my example is always, you know, road rage. You get on the road and somebody cuts you off, and instead of like cursing that person, because I mean, when I drove an ambulance, you the crazy stuff people would do when they were near an ambulance with lights and sirens going. I mean, I had people race me. It was crazy stuff. And your first reaction is to get angry, but you're what I would try to stop myself, and so I'd have that moment, and then I'd try to stop and I'd start praying for safety, right? That person's driving out of control or cutting me off or unsafe manner, and it's like, so I need to pray for their safety. Like, Lord, whatever's causing them to drive that way, keep them safe. So even if you're not having a straight-on word conversation with the person. You can walk through the grocery store and just pray for everybody as you walk by. You see a family with all those kids, and you pray for, you know, food and shelter for them, or you see somebody who, whatever, just as you walk through, you don't feel comfortable just saying something to them.
Amen. So let's talk now for a moment about our attitude, the way that we should approach this. Let's talk about how serious an issue this is. We've talked about, you know, what the hurts are. We've talked about what the band-aids are. Let's talk about how we should approach this. And I want to toss out there, we need to treat these issues, the wounds, the wrong beliefs and things about ourselves, like spiritual cancer. Why do I say spiritual cancer? You know, anytime someone goes to the hospital and they get a diagnosis for cancer, boy, that's the most serious thing that we can hear in life. And all of a sudden we kick into gear and we come up with all kinds of ways to fight it, many different ways.
Find Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, no matter how you choose to do it, but it becomes the number one thing and you are on it, full on, full passion. So why shouldn't we treat some of these issues and things that are plaguing us personally, our wrong beliefs, wrong lies, things that we're trying to put the band-aid on, like cancer? There's a phrase that says, desperate people do desperate things. And in the Bible, they cry out to God, like Isaiah. In Isaiah 64:1 says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. That's a big prayer. There's passion in that.
Yeah.
He's desperate. God listens to desperate, broken people who repent and focus on Him. You know, when Scripture says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent is passionate. You know, we're desperate. We need it. We need God. We need it to happen. Many people just cry out and they just leave it there. And they did. In fact, there may be specialists in crying out, but that's all they do. They leave out the repenting and listening and receiving of what God says to us.
I like the thought, though, that He forgives our unknown sins. If we sin unknowingly, He forgives those sins. And that also the Holy Spirit will pray for us when we don't know how to pray.
Yeah, there's no disputing that. But I think our relationship, our ways that we believe about ourselves are a lot more conscious conversation. So what I want to send you out with today is just kind of an assignment to examine your own life and see if you're feeding that inner problem. See if you can identify what those inner problems are, those inner needs, those inner wrong beliefs are. And that recognition and identifying is the first step. And then from there, we can clean it up with God's Word and confession and repentance. And then we need to refocus. We need to recalibrate our lives and focus on the goal, the destination. I want to finish up today's message, the scripture that probably you don't read very often. It's in the book of Lamentations. And before you ask me, that's in the Old Testament. If you go to the books of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, and go right about, I don't know, four or five books, you go past Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and you're going to land on Lamentations right after Jeremiah. Let me know when you're there. We're going to read Lamentations 3.
Amen.
Amen.
Got it.
All right, Lamentations 3, we're going to begin with verse 19. And just kind of let these words soak into you. I think this is just transforming this little bit that Jeremiah has to say. Jeremiah says, God, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Do you believe it? To the person who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach, for the Lord will not reject forever. Do you believe it? Yes? Okay. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the land, to deprive a man of justice in the presence of the Most High, to defraud a man in his lawsuit. Of these things the Lord does not approve. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift up our heart and hands towards God in heaven. Amen. 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 So, recalibrate. That's a good word to take home with you today. Recalibrate. When the GPS first came out, and you'd make a wrong turn, and you'd spin around. Recalibrating. You know, that can work for us. But life is great. If you don't feel like you can say that from your heart today, life can be great. God says, I put life and death before you. Choose life. Choose life. We're only here on earth in our physical bodies right now for a certain number of days. And let us make the most of them. Live like tomorrow could be your last day. Have hope. Believe. Who are you really? You're not that person that's injured that needs a band-aid. You're a child of the King, the Most High God. We're God's possession. We're his handiwork. He has created each of us. Do you understand this is my question. I want to convey that because we need to change the way we think about ourselves because we're being deceived. So let us think about ourselves and look at ourselves like God does.
Did you take
my... Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. Let's gather around and pray for one another.